Now, on Thursday night, we had our children's meeting here, and it was my turn to speak, and my subject was the Lord Jesus as a boy of 12 in the temple. And I mentioned on Thursday, when it was the 13th of January, that tomorrow, the 14th of January, was the 14th day of the first month, and I talked to them about the Feast of Passover. Well, I thought tonight we might have a look at the Feast of Passover, because today is just a few days after the 14th. It is now the 16th, and so we're not too far off in the calendar. The only thing I've got to tell you very kindly is that our first month of the year is January. Israel's first month of the year was April. Okay, so if anyone wants to take the same message for the 14th day of April, then they'll hit the Jewish calendar spot on. By way of an introduction, though, I want us to read some of the background verses in the book of Exodus, please. And I want us to go to the second chapter of Exodus, and we'll just pick up one or two verses through the chapters up to chapter number 12. If you haven't got a Bible, don't feel embarrassed at all. What I just kindly ask is that we just take careful note of the scripture reading as we read the word of God together. It really is the most important part of our meeting this evening. Exodus chapter 2, then verse 23. The background is that the Israelites, God's people, promised the land of Canaan are not there. They're slaves in Egypt. They're working for King Pharaoh, building him cities. The pyramids that are in Egypt were all built by these same slaves, and that's what Pharaoh got them doing, working hard, building, and he didn't like them too much. He wanted them to work hard, and he wanted them to work harder, and he got the whip out and put it across their backs, and then he took the materials away and still expected them to get the materials and make as much or more, and he didn't give them an easy time there in Egypt. And that's the background here. We're just in those days. And it says in verse 23 of chapter 2, it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. That is the hard work they were put under. They sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. Their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard. Just notice that. God heard. God heard their groanings. Notice the next three words. And God remembered. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Now those three men are the three founders, three successive generations, founders of the nation of Israel, God's people. It all started with Abraham, his descendant Isaac, and his descendant Jacob, and then subsequently Jacob's 12 sons. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and God looked, notice that, God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Did you pick up those four references? God heard, God remembered, God looked, and God had respect unto them. Just before we turn to the next reading, I want to just assure you tonight that God hears the cry from every longing heart. That's what it says, God heard their cry. Not only did God hear, God acted. God heard, God remembered, God looked, and God had respect unto them. Come into chapter 3, verse number 7. And the Lord said, now if you were here last week, you'll remember that Andrew, my brother, gave some quite detailed explanation about Lord in your Bible. When you see it in four block capitals, L-O-R-D, it is the title Jehovah, the ever-existent one, the one who is, the one that was, and the one that always will be. So he's the same God. The same God of chapter 2, he's speaking to himself, of himself here. The Lord said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. 4, I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Did you pick up the four I's? I have seen, I have heard, I know, I am come down. Don't say tonight for a minute, will you, that God is not interested in my lot. And God doesn't care. He does. He sees our sorrow. He knows it. He says, I know their sorrows. Not only does he see, not only does he know, but notice he acts. I am come down to deliver them. Over to chapter 4. To chapter 6. Chapter 6 and at verse number 4. The Lord is speaking. Exodus 6 verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them, that is with the Israelites, to give them the land of Canaan, sometimes referred to as the promised land. I have established also my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I want you to notice now in the next verses that we're going to read, down to the end of verse 8, 7 I wills of the Lord. Notice the verses that we've just read in this chapter, similar to the ones that we've read in chapter 2, similar to the ones that we've read in chapter 3, how the Lord has established his covenant, the Lord has heard the groanings of these Israelites in trouble, and he has remembered his covenant, and he's going to act. So this is how he's going to act in these 7 I wills. Verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, number 1. And I will rid you out of their bondage, number 2. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, number 3. And I will take you to me for a people, number 4. And I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Number 5. Verse 8. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Number 6. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. What promises? I will, I will, I will. God keeps his word and he performs what he promises to do. Men's promises are like pie crusts sometimes, aren't they? Easily broken. God always keeps his word. Can we go back for a second to chapter 5? Just read the first 2 verses of that chapter. We've read something about God. We've read something about the Lord, Jehovah. The fact that he hears, he remembers, he looks, he has compassion, he has respect. And he has come down, he says, to deliver them. And he's promised those 7 I wills that summarizes all of that which he's already said. Now, the man that's got this task in hand is a man by the name of Moses, the Lord's servant, the meekest man that ever lived at that time, one of the meekest men that you could ever know, and yet a great leader of the Israelites. Moses has the task of going before King Pharaoh. Verse 1 of chapter 5 says, and afterward Moses and Aaron went up and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Pharaoh, you know, was a stubborn man. In chapters 5 to the 7th verse of chapter 10, Moses goes to Pharaoh 7 times with 7 requests, almost identical: "Let my people go." We're told in the first request, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Will you come to chapter 10 for a few moments? Let's read that 7th plea of Moses and Aaron. Moses, you see, was a man that didn't feel he was very adequate with his words. And so God graciously gave him Aaron to be a spokesman for him. So the Lord spoke to Moses, and Aaron was his mouthpiece, as we might say. Chapter 10, verse 3, "And Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coasts." Now, the locusts there in verse number 4, same sort of locusts as you have today, that was the 8th of 10 plagues that God brought upon the land to show to King Pharaoh that Moses and his word should be listened to. But notice, come down to verse number 20. "But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart." Notice that. "The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt." This is the 9th plague. "And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go over with us. There shall not be an hoof to be left behind, for therefore must we take to serve the Lord. Thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. Over verse 29, I want to write the words, Pharaoh's fatal decision. Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. Now, in those verses 20 and 27, we've read that twice over, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. That expression about his heart being hardened occurs 6 or 7 times in these chapters, up to this point and even afterwards. And you'll read that there were occasions when Pharaoh hardened his heart, and there are occasions when the Lord hardened his heart. 6 times the Lord hardens his heart, Three times Pharaoh hardened his own heart. But you know, I want to say very finally and tragically that Pharaoh hardened his heart to the extent that when the Lord hardened it, there was no further opportunity for Pharaoh to hear. He said to Moses, "You're not coming to me again and getting out alive." And Moses said, "Very well, you'll see my face no more again." Chapter 12. Just look at the last verse of chapter 11. Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This day shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs with all the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hands, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Just look at verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Now, just one final verse, please, in the New Testament to 1 Corinthians and chapter 5, verse number 7. This gives me comfort tonight to know that as I preached you on the Passover, I can preach to you about the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice at the cross. I just want to pick up the last clause of the verse. So go to the last comma in the verse, halfway through. For even, verse 7, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And God will bless to us those readings of Holy Scripture. So today is the second Lord's Day of 2022. Did any of you make New Year's resolutions? And you were determined that you were going to do this and that and the other, and you say, "I've wasted my time, I've blown the lot." Well, wouldn't surprise me in the bit, because that's what tends to happen, isn't it? We have all these ideas that we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and we fail badly. Well, the Israelites were going to have a new beginning, and that's the new beginning that we're considering here in Exodus and chapter 12. So important was this day that the calendar was changed. So what was the seventh month has now become the first month. The calendar was actually changed because this marked and the most important day in Israel's history. It was a new start. You see, it was deliverance. It was salvation. It was freedom. Imagine all of those years in Egypt. And everything was good for a while, you know, in Egypt. There was a pharaoh that did respect the Israelites. And actually, because Joseph was in Egypt, Joseph saw to it that the Israelites had a special piece of Egypt, the most fertile of all the land of Egypt. And they were given a good lot there. But you see, then there arose another pharaoh. They're all called pharaohs. There was another pharaoh. Arose another pharaoh, and he didn't know Joseph. And he didn't know anything about Joseph's God either. And so he saw that these Israelites in his land were becoming a potential threat. Imagine, you see, here's Egypt. And in your land, you've got a whole lot of people of another nation, Israelites. And the Egyptians were worried. You see, wars are no new thing. The Egyptians were worried, well, if a country comes and invades us, whose side are these people going to be on? Are they going to be, to quote from another verse of scripture in a different context, are they going to be for us or against us? Are they going to be on our side or against us? Are they going to fight with us or against us? Are they going to fight with the adversary and work against us? So that was the fear. And so there was this grand plan of how to try and eliminate the Israelites. Imagine Pharaoh passing an order that all the ladies that worked in the hospitals, well, there wasn't such things as hospitals in those days, probably, but all the ladies that worked as midwives, that any one baby that was born that was a girl, you could keep that one, but if it was a boy, you would throw it into the river. Imagine that. You know, I'm quite glad that the Hebrew midwives, they said, well, we can't do that. We've just got to obey what God wants. And Moses was actually born in that time. Moses was hid in the bulrushes, do you remember that, in the little basket? And here's this man now as a grown man, he's a great leader. But you see, that's the time in which we're found. And the Israelites, the Israelites are prospering. And so let's get them to work hard. Well, actually, hard work doesn't do anyone any harm, you know. And hard work actually caused these Israelites to multiply and grow rather than diminish their numbers. And so that plan didn't work either. And yet all this time, God has said to it, as he promised to Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob, you're not going to live here in Egypt. You're going to go to a land that I've promised you. Now, notice one of our readings, it made reference to the fact they'd previously been in it, just wandering around as pilgrims and strangers. They ended up down in Egypt. But you see, the land had been promised to them, and the land was going to be possessed by them. It was going to be their heritage and their possession, as we've read about in these verses. But they're not there yet, they're in Egypt. And Pharaoh's got them working hard, harder and harder and harder and harder and harder and harder and harder, and is making them serve with, I like the expression, rigor. So Moses is raised up to get these people out, to lead them out on the way to the promised land. So he goes to the king Pharaoh. Let my people go that they may serve me. We read the first time. Pharaoh says, who is the Lord? I don't know him. Why should I let them go? I do not know him. I am not going to let the Israelites go. And as I said, we read the first and we read the last of those pleas. But in between, there's a total of seven requests by Moses with Aaron his spokesman to Pharaoh, let my people go. Do you know, there were occasions when Pharaoh was approached that you could have almost thought he's softening a little bit. Because there are times, you know, that he says, well, yes, they can go. And no sooner has he said that, he changes his mind. And he won't let them go. You'll notice that even in the last that we read, he says, well, yes, you can go, but you're not taking any of your sheep and your offerings that you're going to offer in sacrifice. And you see, Moses said, no, that's not the plan. The plan is that the Israelites go, and they go with their animals for sacrifice because we're going to hold a feast unto the Lord. They're going to sacrifice. They're going to want their animals for sacrifices. So they're not going to go alone. And you see, Moses is told, you can go and your children can go, but the animals have got to stay. And Moses said, no, it's not like that. We all go or nobody goes. And Pharaoh, his heart is getting harder. There are seven requests. And then there are 12 times through these chapters. The last one is actually after the Passover, after their deliverance. It's in chapter 14, verse 8, that you read that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. I want to say tonight, if you've heard the gospel before and never responded to it, every time you hear it and don't accept the Saviour, a process is going on. You might not be conscious of it, but your heart is getting harder and harder and harder and harder. To start with, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. At the end, we read it twice over, that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. I don't know whether you've seen an old painting. It's known as the Gospel Ship. And halfway in the picture, on one of the sails, is the verse from Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He that being often reproved, that was Pharaoh. Plague one had come. God had shown to Pharaoh that God was in control and God was able to bring that plague upon the Egyptians and to leave the Israelites unaffected. And it's happened with the plagues. You see, they came upon the Egyptians and the Israelites, God's people, were not affected. You see, God made a difference between those that were his and those that weren't. And all the time, you see, Moses is showing through God is showing through Moses and through these plagues that, you see, God is to be feared and God is to be reverenced and God is to be obeyed. And God's voice is to be heard and taken notice of. And Pharaoh saw it. He saw the mighty hand of God and said, no, no, no. To the point that God hardened his heart. As I said, that chapter 10 is a very frightful verse. Pharaoh said, get from me. If you come again, you'll see my face. If you come once more and see my face, you'll die. And Moses says, very well, I will see thy face again no more. Wouldn't it be tragic if God stopped speaking and you heard God's voice no more? God speaks through this book, the Word of God, by his Holy Spirit. Says the scripture, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Perhaps our hearts are hard, stony, stubborn. In the presence of God tonight, I implore you in God's name, just let your heart be broken down, that God would speak. God said in the days of Noah, I've just been reading there, starting my Bible again for the new year, in Genesis, those early chapters, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And it won't. You know, if God has been striving and God has been speaking, then listen and obey. My spirit will not always strive with man. This new beginning. It was the judgment, the final judgment upon Egypt, that brought the release of the Israelites. You see, Moses went to Pharaoh all of those times with those requests, seven times. Pharaoh said, no, no, no. says God through Moses to Pharaoh, you've heard me for the last time. And the last plague, we read plagues 8 and 9. The 10th plague is the plague of death, the death of the firstborn, of animals and of humans. And it was in order that God's will might be done and the Israelites might be free to go on their way out of Egypt, on their way to the promised land. Free from the burdens, free from the trials, free from the troubles of Egypt. Wouldn't you want to be free from your sin tonight? Tell me. Does it not trouble you? Your sin in the presence of a holy, righteous, sin-hating God? Wouldn't you want to be done with your sin tonight? And have a clean sheet? The slate, as it was in those olden days when you used to write a slate, but the slate wiped clean, every charge against you removed? Do you know you can sing with joy, God, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. You can. Every Christian can say that tonight. We were wretched sinners once, you know, but God has had dealings with us about our sin, and we've trusted the Lord Jesus for salvation, and our sins tonight, we can say, are gone, 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 gone. Their sins and their iniquities, says God, I will remember again no more. The Israelites were done with Egypt. They're on their way to blessing. How was it? How did it all come about? They had to follow God's instructions. God provided a remedy for them. God provided them an exit for them. God provided salvation for them. God provided deliverance for them. And it was like this. It says God to Moses and Moses to the people, you've got to take every household, you've got to take a lamb. Okay, that's simple enough, isn't it? You've got to take it, and from the 10th day to the 14th day, you've got to observe it. It's got to be a lamb without blemish. On day 14, you've got to kill the lamb. You following? It's quite straightforward, isn't it? Take the lamb, keep it from the 10th day to the 14th day, and on the 14th day, you've got to kill it. You've got to put the blood in a basin, and you've got to take some hyssop, you've got to dip it into the blood, and you've got to put the blood on the two side posts of the door of your house, and you've got to put some blood on the top as well, three places, sides, both sides, and on the top. Are you following? And that's it. I say it again, that's it. Take a lamb, keep it up from the 10th day to the 14th, see that it's suitable for killing, for sacrifice. Kill the lamb, put the blood in a basin, take the blood with hyssop, put it on the two side posts and on the top, and that's it. Go inside your house and sit down and relax. Says God, I'm coming through the land of Egypt tonight. And I'm going to destroy the firstborn in every house. Except the houses that I come to and the blood is on the doorpost and on the lintel. Did you notice what we read? Chapter 12, verse 23. I will pass through the land, smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Simple plan, wasn't it? Do you know what? There's nothing complicated about the gospel message. I don't need to sit down with any of you and debate it and discuss with you what this means and that means, because it's so simple. So simple. You know, children have come to know the Lord Jesus when they can hardly string a sentence together. They understand what it means to have faith and to believe on the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, and to know salvation. It is enough that Jesus died. Can we say that tonight? It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. Have I seen myself like the Egyptians? Like what the Egyptians did to the Israelites, to put a heavy burden upon them. You know, that reminds me of the burden of sin that is upon us all, and it would keep us down and suppress us, and to keep us down and to be despondent and to be discouraged and to be unhappy and to have the judgment of God awaiting us. Oh, the joy of having it all gone. Lift it. If you've read the story of Pilgrim's Progress, you'll remember that he had a burden upon his back and it weighed him down. It's a picture of his sin. And when he got sight of the cross and he trusted the Saviour that died for him and was buried and risen again, the burden was gone and he saw it rolled away and it disappeared and it was out of his sight. Those of you that are saved tonight, you remember the day when you, or the night when you came and trusted the Lord Jesus? Wasn't it just like that? The burden of sin gone. A load off your shoulders. Never a charge to be raised against you. And you sang with joy thereafter, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I can live eternally. Praise God. My sins are gone. This Passover is a picture of the Lord Jesus. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Historically, at Calvary, in AD 33, the Son of God, Jesus Christ the Saviour, gave himself up to the cross and suffered in your place and mine as a substitutionary sacrifice. There at the cross, the Bible says that God punished him for what my sins deserved. That's death. For the wages of sin is death. And there at the cross, he died in my place. And all that God asked me to do is like he asked these Israelites to do. Take the hand and put some hyssop in the hand and dip it in the blood and apply it. I've got no offering to bring. The offering was made at the cross, the sacrifice for me, for my sins. I can't bring anything in my own hands that's good enough for God. The best I can bring is like filthy rags, Isaiah 64 verse 6 says. What a presentation to God of all the loathsomeness of my sin. But I look to Calvary by faith. That's it. Putting the hand on the hyssop and the hand in the blood and applying the blood to the doorpost, that's a picture of faith. I take what God has done in Christ and I make it my own and says, Jesus died, he died for me. I'm the sinner, I need to be saved, he died for me. He rose again the third day. God has accepted him and I'm going to accept what he's done as well. This month shall be to you for the beginning of months. The 16th day of January 2022 could be to you the start of a new life and a new year and all the blessings of God ahead. What a joy it could be from today onwards if you accept the Saviour for yourself. Don't, please, in God's name, be like Pharaoh who heard the call 7 times. Who said no, 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 no. And tragically, his house suffered loss. He suffered the loss of his firstborn in the house of Pharaoh. Why? Because he was worse than the rest? No. There was no faith. There was no appropriation of the blood. There was no applying of the blood to his house. The voice of God, of the servant of God, Moses, was not received by him, not obeyed by him. And so he went out unblessed. May God bless you all with salvation. If you've got any questions that you would like to ask, then please feel free to ask any of us. We'll be more than happy to help you in God's name. Shall we pray?